Hi, and welcome back to Activists of Tech, the Responsible Tech Podcast. A few months ago, in August 2024, the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, announced a final rule banning fake reviews and testimonials, a rule that will allow to deter AI-generated fake reviews by prohibiting fake or false consumer reviews, consumer testimonials, and celebrity testimonials, for instance. Now, if you have ever been online shopping, you know that this is pretty groundbreaking. How many of us have been deceived by fake reviews before buying a product? Not only is it a waste of money, but also in the midst of a climate crisis, it's an additional waste and it's very detrimental to our environment. We don't need more waste. We don't need more useless stuff. We don't need to just send something back because we were literally lied to online by fake reviews. Joining us today is Janani Kumar. She's the founder of MyBrands. Janani knew that something had to be done about these fake reviews plaguing the internet way before the FTC even made a move. MyBrands is a platform that promotes transparency at every step of the consumer journey by leveraging AI to provide verified reviews from all across the web to help users find the best brands and products based on lawful and real feedback. Her goal was to help people save money and help the environment at the same time. In this episode, we explore the impacts of online fake reviews on consumer trust, the FTC ruling, and much more. I hope you enjoy this episode. Janani, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here.
It's my pleasure. So what's your story?
Yeah, I'm an immigrant mother of two. And I started my career as a software engineer and decided I didn't want to do that forever. So I found I had a keen interest for anything business, you know, like running a business, working with businesses very closely. So I decided to get an MBA. And since then, I've been working primarily in marketing roles for the past 6 years with over like 15 brands. Mainly, I help them launch, scale, and drive the growth through, you know, strategic marketing.
So I met you at the incubator of Concordia University under the social enterprise stream. And you were working on MyBrands. And we were, what program was it? Was it validation?
It was validation.
Yeah, we were not at launch at all. And then the program ended around April. I log on LinkedIn and I see that you just launched MyBrands, and I want to know more. I was like, oh my God, Janani, that was fast. How did you come up with the idea of MyBrands, and what's your mission?
Yeah, so the journey started when I was in my agency days. I was asked once to, hey, can you go and post reviews on the brands that we work with? And this really bothered me. And when I started having the conversation with my colleagues, they said, oh, it's just like happens every day, right? And I also kept hearing stories from my friends and family where they are offered free products in exchange of reviews. I started digging deeper into this issue. And the final nail is when I started working really close in the direct-to-consumer space, where I saw how easy it was for brands to moderate and suppress negative reviews. This means they are directly manipulating, you know, like customer experiences in and undermining the transparency that these experiences are being shared, right? So when I realized there had to be like a better solution, I started doing more and more research. I started with a social network first, and then realized in 2024, trying to start a social network is probably like, you know, like a difficult idea. Then we pivoted to one consumer product and two business solution. And since then, we acquired some paid clients, and we have started generating some traffic to our consumer product as well. And things are getting a little bit interesting now.
And I think it's going to get even more interesting because the FTC, so the Federal Trade Commission, has recently banned fake reviews and deceptive practices in a new rule. And businesses now face stricter regulations on review acquisition and disclosure. How do you think this rule impacts businesses and consumer trust?
Oh, it was a surprise for me in August when the rule came out, because it gave such a big validation for what we were working. And if enforced properly, this can be a game changer, right, for both businesses and consumers. for businesses, now it means they have to be more vigilant about how they acquire and present these reviews. They cannot be moderating the reviews anymore. And from, in my opinion, it is the brands who have to choose to step forward and facilitate transparency. And it's high time they realize that it is not just a good practice and it is a requirement hereafter. For consumers, it sure boosts trust in online reviews. When the FTC news came out, Melissa, you could see it was blowing up on Reddit. There was at least like 40 different subreddits where this article was shared. And one of the most highly liked articles on that day, it was trending. And but I think it's going to take a little bit more time to rebuild customers' trust in the entire review industry.
Would you actually consider collaborating with federal agencies or just governmental institutions with My Brands as a trusted platform for consumer reviews?
Oh, we would love to. We've been like working, we've been trying to get in touch with legal agencies to, you know, we are ready to open up our code. We are ready to open up like our entire process to see to show them exactly how we are helping brands, you know, like be transparent. So we are really looking forward to collaborate with any legal teams or even with the government if needed.
Wait, so you would make your code open source?
Of course.
That's amazing.
Because it's at the end of the day, you know, like if you are not able to like, you know, rely on like a consumer review just to buy, you know, like a single product, what's the point of a $600 million industry, right? There are like so many tools out there that somehow seem to be like, all of them seem to be facilitating like their moderation. And I think it's high time, you know, that has to be changed.
Mm-hmm. So how might this ban impact the future of digital marketing strategies?
Yeah, this is going to be a little bit difficult for brands who up until now relied on these kind of malpractices, right? For instance, say you want to import a product from Alibaba, Melissa, and you want to sell something. You liked something and you wanted to sell here in Canada. Within Alibaba, there are tools where I don't want to mention the app name, but if you install that app, you can directly import reviews from Alibaba, hundreds and hundreds of them, and then you can show as if it's reviews from, say, United States or from Montreal, Canada. It's the
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's just so bad. And now with the, you know, like stricter regulations, if, you know, these are enforced properly, it's going to be difficult for these brands to, you know, like, show as if they have consumers' trust and, you know, like they're going to have to work harder to earn and present these reviews. So essentially, it's going to take longer time for brands to regain consumer trust, right? And then there is also now tools that offer like, you know, bulk of like AI generated reviews. And now this FTC rule is going to, you know, like impact those as well. So at the end of the day, the best brands that really care about consumers' opinion are going to win. It's going to take a longer time, but then that means they also have built like, you know, like customer relationships during that longer period that can last longer.
Speaking of AI-generated reviews, how do you think they have impacted consumers' trust in brands? And also, are they recognizable to the average consumer who is just online reading reviews? And also, I want to know, if you know, because it's a very broad question and I don't even know if there are studies about it, how much money does the average person waste by buying a product that does not reflect online reviews?
So it's, be it like a AI generated review or, you know, you're finding a review factory, you know, like who is sitting somewhere in a third world country who can post like, you know, hundreds of reviews for like $5. The main issue here is that you're misleading consumers at the end of the day, right? So a customer comes to your website, all they see is this glowy 4 and 5 star reviews. They buy the product. The product doesn't meet the expectation. And The customer has the easy escape. Okay, you know what? I'm going to return the product. This cycle, this dangerous cycle, keeps happening over and over again. It's putting pressure on the economy and mainly on the environment because of all the reverse logistics and shipping, right? And there is a study actually that says for US that American consumers are wasting about $125 per month because of fake reviews. And when you just compound by the population and per year, you're looking at like, you know, billions of dollars wasted on economy. And the main fact is that most of these returned items, Melissa, often ends up in landfill. And you're again, you know, like polluting the environment apart from the reverse logistics and shipping issues.
And I feel also it's impacted the climate crisis if people just keep buying things that don't reflect what they thought they were buying, like they may just get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly. Say if it's a, you know, I was conducting like interviews as part of the Concordia program, right? And the sentiment that I keep hearing is that, oh, you know what, if I buy something and it is bad, depending on, you know, how expensive it is, I just throw it out. You know, if it's less than $50, I'm not going to bother to, you know, like go to the post box and, you know, like return it back. I just discard it, right? Again, it's just like people buying something they don't really want, just because they were forced to. And, you know, like things ending up in landfill again and again.
How does this proliferation of fake reviews distort consumer behavior and create an unfair advantages in the marketplace?
So it's who knows the game well kind of a scenario. So if a brand knows how to exactly take advantage of, you know, these malpractices in the review industry, they can get their product to rank quickly on Amazon or any marketplace for the matter, like, you know, even if it's a Shopify website or any marketplace for that matter. And they can get their product to rank high. They can get, like, you know, more sales because on marketplaces, you know, reviews and ratings drive how often your product is shown to customers when they are searching. And what it does is it genuinely, you know, like punishes businesses that actually put in, like, you know, work to build like quality products, right? They are not participating in this review manipulation and their products are not going to be, like, you know, shown to consumers. And at the end of the day, we are driving, like, you know, subpar products to the consumers who down the line is losing trust and also wasting money.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go back to what you do at My Brands. Mm-hmm. How do you ensure data privacy and security, especially given the need to verify purchases or user identities?
Yeah. Yeah, in our consumer product, what we are doing is we have at least like 8 different criteria we are checking before even saying that this is a legit review. For instance, we are looking at the language. If it's like, you know, too generic, is it even relevant to the product? Then we are looking at like order history. If you never bought the product, how can you write a review about it, right? We are also looking at like order frequency, user location. We are using like IP to see, because one of the things is that, Melissa, you go to Facebook today and then you search Amazon review groups, Costco review groups, anything that you search, you would find like hundreds and hundreds of groups where all they do is find people to post reviews and exchange for products. And these are people who are sitting somewhere else, in most cases in US too. So we are looking at like these IP addresses to see if it's the same IP address posting like, you know, 10 different reviews for like same product. I mean, come on, it's fishy. So we are looking at like multiple criterias before categorizing if this review is fake or legit. And like with any technology, for any, you know, enforcement, there is always going to be someone who's going to come and, like, you know, find a way to bypass that, right? And our goal is to stay really vigilant for all about all these practices and, you know, like keep on improving our models and keep on improving our product solutions. So we deliver the promise that if a store is using My Brand's reviews, they are not moderating their reviews. They are not posting fake reviews.
And along these lines, I think it's still possible to buy or sell fake likes, followers, or views on social media. But it's now prohibited by the FTC. How can consumers online and just well, specifically online verify the authenticity of online reviews in light of this ban?
So the first step would be like, you know, say if you are doing your research within that website, the first indication is, are they having only 4 and 5 star reviews, right? There is not a single product that can satisfy like the entire world. So, you know, look for like indicators if it's only like, you know, like a glowy 4.5 or 4-5 stars. And then look for text that is too generic. If a review that says like great product, you know, it's a little bit wise to be cautious there. And look for indications if the review is from like a verified buyer badge, right? You can see on some of the reviews within Amazon or Shopify, you see like a verified buyer. You can look for badges like that. Within My Brands, we have implemented verified buyer. We are also saying if this is a repeat buyer. So, you know, it can add like more trust to the consumers, right? And then the second solution is that always kind of, you know, cross-verify. Go to Amazon, go to Reddit, go to, you know, like YouTube and cross-verify and see if the sentiment is same across all the places. And that's what we do on our consumer solution. We have this review aggregator where we are doing the work for the consumers for a product. We are fetching reviews across the internet, you know, Amazon, Target for now, Reddit, YouTube, all the blogs and news articles, and we fetch all the reviews and our models look for fake content and promotional content, and we give like, you know, like a one place for all the research. And this is what we are really excited about. And we are constantly like, you know, finding ways to improve the value that we can provide for our consumers.
I'm excited about it, honestly. Can anyone use My Brands?
Yeah, the consumer product, anybody can use it. You know, you go ahead, you search, and then you find a product. If not, what we are doing is we are using something called like programmatic SEO, Melissa. I don't know if we want to talk about this, but
yes, why not?
Okay, so we are using something called programmatic SEO, right? So this is how you build like, you know, like thousands and thousands of pages, and you know, like it helps with the ranking. But for our purposes, we want to rank as quickly as possible. So what we are doing is we look at like all the keywords that people are searching for. Say if you're interested in Allbirds, for instance, Allbirds reviews have like 5,000 people searching for it, right? So we do the research there. We build the report pre-hand and we have it. Our domain has a good ranking. So we were able to rank for these keywords really quickly. So we are suggesting this tool as an alternative to for people who may want to research about this product elsewhere, right? Or in like multiple places. So we are saving them time. So we are currently ranking for, I guess, like 500 keywords with this tool. And the idea is to like, you know, keep building these reports, bring reviews from as many places as we can, and, you know, like improve our models to better detect and everything. But and then this tool is live now. You can go ahead and test it. I'd be super excited if you test it and give me your feedback, Melissa.
I went on your website right after you launched, because again, like that was so soon after the validation program. I was like,
yeah,
Janani is on fire. Like, what is happening? It just went live. And yeah, I was really impressed actually by the design of it and how efficient it was. It was very fast. Yeah. Oh,
thank you. I have a solid dev team. I wouldn't have been able to do this, you know, without them. And, you know, you need to have like a crazy team to work like as crazy as you are. And I'm really blessed to be, you know, like working with them, with my team.
Oh God, that's so sweet. How can we support you?
Oh, yeah, but like, you know, you can use our products, give us feedback, or, you know, like give us any ways that we can improve, not just for, you know, like one person, for, you know, like the collective of the crowd. I come from like, you know, a culture where we don't buy like a lot of stuff, right? And then there is there is, I still own, like, you know, some of my clothes that I bought like 5 years before. And I see things like, you know, like Shein, you know, like Temu, all these fast fashion. Why do we have to buy like this much? You know, that's one thing. And the other thing is that, okay, when we are buying, let's make informed decision, right? Let's not stress the environment. Let's not stress the economy. That's the end goal of it, Melissa.
I honestly love it. And you know, when you say you still have clothes you bought 5 years ago, I realized I still have clothes that I bought in high school. That was like 15 years ago. And honestly, they still last.
Exactly.
Honestly, Janani, like, I'm so proud of you and I'm so inspired because literally I met you in the validation program. Like, we were all, and now, like, you're out there doing your thing.
Oh, I loved it. Before the validation program, I was not able to get my story straight. And but then, like, you know, working with you, for instance, like when you came in with your first pitch, I'm like, oh my God, see how confident. I just took inspiration from you, you know, from...
stop it.
No, we have, you, oh my God, I have like, I seem to have like a really bad memory today. But then like every single group, you know, like GAD, you know, with their... you know, like a PhD mentor marketplace, their pitch. And then, you know,
just
we
like
had...
string ideas that were.
Oh, wow. I love the cohort. It was so good. I choose Julie to be my, you know, coach for the launch and grow program. But then I just loved, you know, the cohort and what we all got out of it.
So lightning round, what do you do to remain hopeful for the future of AI?
I'm like super hopeful to be like really, you know, like honest about it, because I keep reading all these news about the advancements that are made in, like, you know, the healthcare industry or the scientific research. And, you know, that's like really optimistic, right? And with any technology, there is always going to be someone who's going to be like, you know, misusing this, right? I learned about this app that can just kind of, you know, like, you know, do whatever, right? Like, and then there was a news yesterday where the, you know, like a kid committed suicide because he got too attached to this character AI's bot and whatnot. It was just so sad. So, and to think that, you know, the company didn't have like, you know, like rules like that in place. If a kid is talking to a bot for like more than an hour, how can you, you know, like not like, you know, note that down, right? So, those things, it's going to take a little bit of a time, but then overall, I'm like super optimistic about it.
What's your favorite thing about your field?
Oh, for me, if I'm able to create, you know, like value through my products, even for like a small segment of consumers, I'll be like super happy. I want someone to say that, you know, hey, you know what? I used your platform. I was able to make like a really good decision, and it just, you know, saved even like $100 in my day. So that's all I care about now. So if we are not creating, you know, like valuable products, you know, like what are we doing, right? So that's what keeps me going. And that's the most favorite thing. In fact, like, you know, figuring out how I can bring value. That's what I do every day. That's what keeps me at night, Melissa. So that's my answer.
What's your song of the moment?
Oh, you know, for being the most cheerful person I am, I really love like sad songs, like really sad song. And I, oh yeah, for my yeah, my recent favorite is Daylight by David Kushner. I just loved it.
Okay, I will listen to it and hopefully I don't cry. Well, thank you so much, Janani.
Thanks, Melissa.
Oh, I love it and I hate it at the same time. You and I drink the poison from the same vine. Oh, I love it and I hate it at the same time. Hiding all of our sins from the daylight.